We'll go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Titus chapter 3 as, of course, we're continuing our study of the book of Titus. We're bringing to a close, as I said earlier, the verse-by-verse part because we're going to look at verses 12 through 15 this morning. And this is Paul's final instructions. And then next week, we're going to come back and put the whole book together and see some great things that are there. We've seen so much in our study. Not only have we seen doctrinal things, which is, you know, the truths about what we must know and understand, but very practical things about what to live out. And see, whenever you study God's Word, you got to have both. You got to know the truth, the commands and the principles to live by, but at the same time, got to know how to make application of those truths in our lives. And so we come to the final section, and once again, he reminds us of this great truth that we must be doing good works. And so why do we do good works? Why are they important? Why should we be doing good works? And as we look at this passage, we see that we want to be fruitful believers. What does that mean? How does it all fit together? Because he says it in this. And as we look at the passage today, as we look at these verses, we want to be challenged to be fruitful believers as we stand for Jesus Christ in our community. Well, great truth, and we all know this, or I hope we all know this, that salvation is a gift given to us by faith in Jesus Christ. When you think about it, the whole world is confused. So many people think you have to do good things to try to get to God, or try to join a church, or walk down an aisle, or give your life to Jesus, or live a good life, do all those things. But salvation is a gift. It is given freely by faith alone in Christ alone. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world, that's us, that he gave his son Jesus to die and rise again, that whosoever, anyone, would believe in him, faith in him, would never perish, but have everlasting life. We trust in Christ for everlasting life. One of my favorite verses, Ephesians 2:8-9, is by grace that we have been saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. Here's the great truth, though. As a believer, our Christian life, what about our Christian life? How do we live? How we live as believers has eternal results. Now, it has nothing to do with our salvation. It has nothing to do with the fact that we have eternal life. But it has to do with rewards. And how we serve now and how we live now affects how we get to serve him in the kingdom and for all eternity. Many people have never been taught about rewards and serving. Sometimes you talk to people. In fact, you may talk to people in the community and you talk to them about one day you'll stand before Christ and be rewarded. They look at you and go, what are you talking about? I've never heard that sort of thing. In fact, some people have thought that the reward is eternal life. You live good and God rewards you by taking you to heaven. No. Salvation is a gift. Your rewards are based on your service for Jesus Christ. One day you'll stand before your Savior. The Bible calls it the judgment seat of Christ, which is a rewarding stand. And what we want to hear him say is, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear. We want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And how can this happen? How can this happen? If we have been fruitful believers, we'll be rewarded and we'll hear him say, well done. I think every one of you in this room, every one of us in this room, we're going to one day stand before Christ. Those of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior, you're going to stand before your Savior, and you want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. As we study this passage this morning, we're going to realize that doing good works, living for Christ, serving him, that's the key. As we look at this passage, we'll see the final charge, and he says to the believers to be doing good deeds so that we can be fruitful, so that when we stand before our Savior. Well, let's begin. We're in the last section of this letter. It's a short letter, but there's just so much in there. We've seen so much. We've seen the doctrinal part, where how we're saved, not by our works, but by his grace, mercy, and love. That especially in this last section, he really talked about how Jesus gave himself for us. He purifies people of his own possession, how he died for us. That when we were disobedient, he saved us not on the basis of our works or our goodness, but on his grace and mercy and love. We saw that. And then we saw the practical part. And just in chapter 3, there's other places in chapter 2, but in chapter 3, he says, be ready for every good deed. In chapter 3, verse 8, he says, be careful to engage in good deeds. And even in our verse this morning, our verses this morning in 3:14, we need to learn to engage in good deeds. And so over and over again, we see the practical part that, first of all, Jesus has died and rose again, and we have eternal life. So practically, live it out. Live it out by how we serve him. Let me give you the sort of the outline of the passage this morning. Verses 12 and 13 are his ministry instructions. This is where he says, Titus, I want you to come. I want you to help send others. And then we see in verse 14 the charge to be fruitful servants, to do good deeds. And then the final greeting, and he talks about the grace of God. And see, that's all the way through the Bible, the grace of God. So let's begin, and we're going to see two things. He says, Titus, I want you to come, but I want you to help send others. So let's look at verse 12. Look what he says. He says, when I send Artemis, Artychicus to you, make every effort to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. The very first thing he says, he wants Titus to come to him. You remember that he was on the island of Crete with Titus. He left Titus on the island of Crete to do those three things that we saw in the book. That was to appoint leaders, it was to deal with false teachers, and to tell people how to live godly lives. That's what he was supposed to do. He's left him on the island of Crete. Paul is going to be going to a city called Nicopolis. We'll talk more about it in a second. He now says, Titus, I want you to come. He's going to send either Artemis or Tychicus, and when that happens, you come to me. He's sending one of two men, to take his place. Now, when we see this, look at verse 12 again. He says, when I send Artemis or Tychicus, we don't know anything about Artemis. Artemis is a fairly common name, so we don't know anything about it. But Tychicus, we do know. We know who this is. I want you to hold your place quickly in Titus and just turn a couple of pages forward in your Bible to the book of Colossians, okay? Just a little bit forward back to Colossians. And I want you to see Colossians chapter 4. And we're going to see Tychicus there. And we know a little bit about him. He was connected with the church of Colossae. He was a good man. He was a faithful worker. And look at Colossians chapter 4. Look at verse 7. Paul writes to the church at he's in prison. He writes to the church at Colossae. He says, as to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information. Look how he describes this guy, a beloved brother. He says he loves him. He's a fellow Christian. He's a faithful servant, and a fellow bondservant, and the idea of belonging to Jesus Christ and living for him. So he describes him as a brother and a faithful servant. Think about your life. How would someone describe you? Think about it. How would you be described? Would you be called a faithful brother in the Lord or a faithful sister in the Lord? Would they call you a faithful servant? Would they call you a bondservant of Jesus Christ? Would they say that this person lives for Christ? Would they say that you were faithful? As you remember, 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, brethren, it is required of stewards to be found faithful. When you stand before Jesus Christ, it's not going to be how much you did. It's going to be, were you faithful to do what God has for you to do? Because all of us are going to live at different times, different gifts, different talents, different responsibilities, different things to do. And the bottom line, when you stand before Jesus Christ, is faithfulness. Were you faithful to do what God has for you to do? And that's why we want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. So we look at this man named Tychicus, and he's faithful. And what we want to do is be faithful men and women, fulfilling the ministry that God has for us. Every one of us in this room have gifts and talents and abilities to serve. So back to Titus. He says, when I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Now, he's going to send one of these two men. And he says, when I send them, when they get there, you make every effort to come to me, because I want you to come be with me at this city. And it's really true. We're all together. We're all together in ministry. We're there for one another. We're there to help each other. That's the key. And I think that in our country, because our country is based on the fact of independence and the fact that we do our thing, that sometimes we as even believers say, I do my thing. You know, I belong to Jesus Christ, but I'll just do my thing. And the ministry and the scripture is never your thing. It's never you doing your thing. It's all of us together doing his thing. We are in the body together. We all got different gifts, talents, and abilities in the body together. We're all to serve together, touching lives for Christ. So he says, listen, when I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, you come to me. Please come. And he says, come to Nicopolis. Nicopolis is a city, but it's a great name. It's a great name for a city. The word Nika comes from Nike, that Greek word Nike, which means victory. And Polos is the word for city. So really, Nicopolis means the city of victory, or the victory city. And that's where he's staying. Best we can tell, it was a place just north of Corinth in southern Greece. That's the best we know. There were actually three places that had that same name, but we're not sure where it was, but we think Paul was probably in that area. He says, come as quickly as you can. In fact, he says, make every effort to come to me. I've decided to spend the winter there. They didn't travel in the winter. You couldn't go on the ships. If you remember in Acts, when Paul and them were trying to get to Rome, it was right about, winter was about to come, and that's when they got in that terrible storm and they crashed on that island. So as a whole, people didn't travel in the winter very much. And so he says, listen, I want you to come meet me here, because I'm going to spend the winter here. Now then, he mentions two people. to help. Now, he's mentioned two people that's going to come there and help him probably, but now he's going to mention two other people. Look at verse 13. Diligently help Zenos the lawyer and Apollos on their way that nothing is lacking for them. Now, the best that we can tell is Zenos and Apollos were coming through where Titus was, and he says, help them. And he's got the two names. The first of all is Zenos the lawyer. Now, when you think of a lawyer, you're thinking of a lawyer. You're thinking of the guy that you come into his office and he helps write up your will or papers, or maybe he's going to defend you in court or something like that. The word for lawyer here is a word that was used of a Bible scholar. It was a person who knew the Bible. They were called the ones that studied and knew Scripture. Under the Mosaic Law and under Moses, when Jesus was there and you had the scribes and the Pharisees, there was a group also sometimes called lawyers, and they were the ones that knew the Bible. And so if you had a Bible question, you would go to this scribe or to this lawyer guy and say, what does the Bible say here? So when Paul describes this guy, diligently helped Zenos the lawyer, he's saying diligently help the guy that really knows the Scripture, that's kind of a student of the Scripture. He knows what he's doing. Help him. And then Apollos, on their way, help them so that wherever they're going, help them get where they're going, that they're lacking nothing. Now, when you talk about Apollos, Apollos was famous. He was a great speaker. If you go to the book of Acts, you find that Apollos got the message about Christ, but he didn't get the complete message. And he was a great speaker and a debater, and he was going around and he was teaching the Bible, and he was confounding people. It was so amazing, and yet he didn't have everything. And he went to a place where Aquila and Priscilla were, which had been taught by Paul, and they heard this guy Apollos speak, and they went, that guy is incredible at speaking. But he doesn't know all the message, because he was talking about John the Baptist and the Messiah coming. He didn't know the Messiah came. And so they got off with Apollos and taught him the right things. And then Apollos traveled around. And it says in the Scripture that he was a mighty speaker and a great debater. So that's who he is. So Paul writes and says, help Zenos, the Bible scholar, and help Apollos, the great speaker. Help them travel around, because we don't want anything lacking. Now, they needed to fulfill their ministry. Have you thought about ministries? Have you thought about what it takes to do ministry? Think about our church and the ministries of our church. Listen, there's two things I want you to think about. I'm going to put them right here. One is Stillwater Bible Church, and then the other is the 19 different ministries and missions that we support. Now, do you realize that we have a huge number of ministries connected in this church? From youth ministry to college ministry to women's ministry to men's ministry to Sam's ministry to children to Bible studies to SBI to the grow groups to the Sunday morning to the music. I mean, just start thinking, all of these are ministries that we do. And the ministries don't just happen. They don't just happen. When we take up an offering, what you are doing is you are giving as an act of worship, love, and trust, but you're giving to support the ministry of this church so that we can do the things you want us to do. We can have all those different things. At the same time, there are 19 different ministries that we support as a local body all over this world. And so when you give, not only are you supporting the local aspect of this church, but you're supporting at least 19 other ministries that we as a church support. Some are in this town. Some people in our church have their own different ministries, that, like on campus, like AIA. Athletes in Action, we support them. Ian and Allie McCutcheon, we support them. As a church, we support them. They go on the campus and they meet with athletes and lead them to Christ and train them and equip them and make disciples. You support that. You support people that where there's 27 tribal pastors in India that you are supporting, and the message is going out in southern India. There used to be 29, two of them have died. There's 27 now. You support that. There are people in Indonesia that you support. There's people in New Zealand. There's people all over. And so in the same way that he's saying, listen, make sure these guys have what they need so they can do their ministry, we're saying the same thing. Make sure as we give that we're able to do the ministries here and we're able to support the 19 different things that we're touching lives everywhere. You would not believe. And we're gonna start doing a better job of letting you know what's going on. In fact, we're going to probably in the next month or two, we're going to start having a mission of the month to let you know who we support, what's going on, maybe some video or some pictures and things to tell you what's happening so you can say, wow, we have a part in that. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And we want you to see that as well. We're going to get a missions bulletin, a missions board set up out there. We thought there was a young couple that was going to help us get that done this summer, and something's happened and they're not able to do it. So we've got somebody else in the church that already came to me last week and said, let's help get that mission board up so that people can see all the missionaries. And I said, yeah, we got to do it. So that's another thing that's happening. And so we're going to do that as well. So here's what he says. I'm going to send Artemas, Articus to you, and when they get there, you come. You take Zenas, the scholar, and you help him, and Apollos, the great speaker, you help them. Make sure that they have what they need. All of us working together can make sure that ministries are accomplished. From this, he goes to the charge. And I love the charge because it's the thing that he said over and over again, and that is do good works, do good deeds. Look at verse 14. Our people must also learn to engage in good deeds, to meet pressing needs, so that they will not be unfruitful. Now, the way it's written, he says, look, let them learn. What it literally says is, let them learn. Our people must learn. Let them learn to engage in good deeds and to meet pressing needs. And the way it's written in the Greek, it's the idea of let them keep on learning. Let them keep on doing. Let them keep on doing the good deeds, because we've seen it over and over. If you remember several weeks ago, I listed the five places at the very end of chapter 2 and all through chapter 3 where he says, let's keep doing good deeds. Now, let's talk for a minute. He says to do good deeds, meet pressing needs. Why do we do good? I mean, let's think about it as far as, I'm a Christian. I have trusted Jesus Christ. I have eternal life. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with him forever. Whether I do good deeds or not, I have eternal life because it's a gift. It's not my works or service. So why would we as Christians, why would we as believers, why would he keep telling us, do good things, do good works? Well, I've got several things. One is that God gets the glory. Do you remember what he said in Matthew? Jesus said, let your good works shine so that your Father, and he actually says that the world could see it and your Father in heaven is glorified. When we do good things in this fallen world, God gets the glory. The second thing is it maintains our testimony. We tell people that we believe in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life, and we're a child of God, and we have and all that. And then how are we supposed to live? We're supposed to live bad, we're supposed to live good. When we do good works, people go, well, yeah, you are different. You are different. The third thing, people are helped. That's one of the things that the Bible tells us, as much as possible, do good to all people. As believers, that's what we do. But there's one more. And it's found in his verse. He says, our people must also learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs so that they will not be unfruitful. The fourth thing is not be unfruitful, to be positive, to be fruitful. One of the reasons we want to do good works is to be a fruitful believer, because we're going to be rewarded for that. And here's what I want you to think. How do we produce fruit? Why do we produce fruit? Well, how do we produce fruit? We live in God's power. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, through the one who strengthens me. How in the world can we serve the living God? It's God's power through us. We know that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Walk in the Spirit, will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're to live in God's power so we can touch lives for Jesus Christ. And we've talked about that so many times, so I don't have to go over that, but that's how you do it. And here's one of the keys in John 15, abide in Christ. That means maintain your fellowship with God, with Jesus Christ, and there you're empowered to serve him. So you won't be unfruitful. Now, why? Why? Well, why? Because you're going to be rewarded and you get praise from God. Think about this. When you stand before Jesus Christ, what do you want to hear him say? Well done. Okay, that's praise. What do you want to get? You want to get rewards. Because he tells you, run the race so you can get the prize. He says you're going to stand before Jesus Christ and you will be rewarded for how you lived and how you served him. This has nothing to do with eternal life. This has to do with rewards. And we're going to be rewarded. And so we want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. We want to be rewarded. Let me tell you why. Because if you study the Bible carefully, you already know from the book of Revelation, there will be a 1,000-year kingdom on this earth. And all the believers, we will be in that kingdom. And you're going to serve in that kingdom. And the basis of your serving in that kingdom will be how you served him here and now. And then there's going to be an eternal state, Revelation chapter 21, 22, a new heavens, a new earth, a new city, Jerusalem. And it says, for all eternity, we will serve him. The basis of your service for all eternity will be the basis of how you served him here. That's why it is so important that as a child of God, you serve him so you can get the rewards and get the praise from God. That's what you want. We want to please our Heavenly Father. And then he ends it with the greeting. We call it the greeting and the closing. Look what he says. He says, all who are with me greet you. He's writing to Titus. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. He says, all those who are with me. And we don't know who's with him. Probably, maybe Artemis is there. Tychicus is there. Who knows that he's fixing to send. He says, we all greet you. And then notice what he says. Greet those who love us in the faith. You know, what you're supposed to do as believers is love one another. by the way, I'm going to say this in a nice way. It didn't say like everybody. It said love everybody. And loving means that you're going to do for them what they need. Because love is an action. And so he says, greet those who love us in the faith, I mean in those who live according to the biblical truths. The faith is the body of truth that we know and apply. And then he ends it with my favorite part. He says, grace be with you all. It's plural at the end. Grace be with you all. He says, grace of God is with you. And think about this. There's God's grace in our salvation. There's God's grace in our Christian life. There's God's grace in all eternity. This is how God deals with us. And I think when you start thinking about great words in the Bible, the word grace is great and the word love is great, and you just put those two together, God's love and God's grace, they go together. That's how he saves us, how he keeps us, that's how he brings us to him. And so there's so much there. What have we seen? We've seen Paul's plans for Titus. Come, I'm going to send these other guys. Take these guys that are going, Zenos and Apollos, make sure they make it. Our goal is to do good works based on the grace of God. So let me give you some applications. First of all, let's help others in ministry. I mean, that's what we do. That's what we do. Think about the local body. In this local body, we help each other as we give, as we serve, as we use our gifts, talents, and abilities. We help the ministry of this local church carry on now and throughout the whole world. I mean, I don't know if you understand this because we never really talk about it, but we have a website and we have our messages on that website. And there are people, I'm not just saying this to say, there are people all over the world who use our website and our messages. There are at least six churches, six different ministries in Kenya who are basing their ministries off our website. I don't know if you know that or not. We don't support them individually. They want us to. We just don't have the finances to do that right now. But they use all of our material. I get letters every day. One is named Pastor Samson. One is named Pastor Samuel. One is named Pastor McDonald. That's three different ministries that I get letters from every day. Email. Let me say it. Email. So this church has a ministry which is beyond Sunday morning. It's all over the world. And you are making that happen. Second, let's don't forget about the 19 different missions that as you give, we're touching lives everywhere. We've got to do that. Second, let's be fruitful believers. That's the goal when you stand before Jesus Christ to see him say, well done, good and faithful servant. How are you going to be fruitful? You're going to do good deeds. You're going to meet needs. You're going to use your gifts, talents, and abilities. You're going to touch lives for Jesus Christ. When you wake up in the morning, it's not going to be about you. When you wake up in the morning, you're going to say, Lord, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Whose life do you want me to touch? What gifts, talents, abilities, possessions, time, what do you want me to use for your glory? And when you do that, one day when you stand before him, you're going to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And the last but not least, let's help others know about the grace of God. Think about it. Let's be faithful to proclaim the grace of God for salvation. So many people, and I don't mean it bad, but so many people have such a confused message. You don't know about God's grace. So many people add works to salvation. They say grace, but when they get down to it, they add so many things that people have to do that it's works for salvation. Let's proclaim faithfully the grace message of salvation. Let's think about the Christian life. Let's help others understand that the Christian life is a life of faith in the grace of God. And then last but not least, we're looking forward that Jesus is going to come get us and let people help people realize that by God's grace, we will be with him forever. So So as we proclaim the grace of God, let's be fruitful believers as we fulfill our ministry and help others to fulfill their ministries.